We are back in session.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Mics are on, we're good.
Again, this is Marshall Graves. I'm a supervisor here at Power Cycle. And today, Julia Cohen is going to give your presentation on SB 1383. And she's the representative or liaison for the county, for the regional agency, for Power Cycle. She's going to go through the presentation, and then afterwards we'll have time for questions. And it looks like Julia is muted. Julia, are you there?
All right, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting us to present today. This presentation provides a very high-level overview of the requirements for compliance with SB 1383. Next slide. Landfills are the largest producer of methane in California, and organic waste comprises two-thirds of California's waste stream, and food waste alone is the largest waste stream in California, at roughly 18% of disposal. Additionally, millions of Californians are insecure, meaning one in five children go hungry every night in the state. Next slide. To address this, SB 1383 establishes a statewide target that requires California to reduce organic waste disposal by 75% by 2025 and to increase edible food recovery by 20% by 2025. It's important to note that this goal is statewide, not a requirement placed on each individual jurisdiction. Organic waste is defined broadly to include food waste, paper, cardboard, grain waste, organic textiles and carpets, lumber, wood, biosolids, digestate, manure, and sludge. Power Cycle collaborated with jurisdictions and other stakeholders, including the RCRC and ESGPA, over 3.5 years to complete the regulations that were finalized on November 3rd, 2020. The regulations take effect on January 1, 2022. Power Cycle understands that not every jurisdiction will have everything in place by January 1st, 2022, but each jurisdiction must be making the effort to do so. Next slide, please. This slide provides an overview of the program requirements that all jurisdictions will be required to adequately staff and resource, with the exception, in some cases, in which an exemption or waiver provides delayed implementation. For example, Siskiyou County Regional Agency can apply for a rural exemption, which provides relief from a number of these requirements. So we will be addressing that as we go along. Firstly, jurisdiction must provide organic waste collection services to all residents and businesses. This is the fundamental requirement of the law. This means for all organic waste, including green waste, wood waste, food waste, manure, fibers, and so on. The containers must be in prescribed colors, any shade of gray or black for trash, green for organic waste, and blue containers for traditional recyclables. And there are container labeling and contamination monitoring requirements. Specific to Siskiyou, the regional agency can apply for a rural exemption to be relieved of the collection requirements of Article 3, as well as the related education and outreach and organics recycling capacity planning until December 31st, 2026. Next, jurisdictions must establish edible food recovery programs for all Tier 1 and 2 commercial edible food generators. This means identifying Tier 1 and Tier 2 commercial edible food generators and ensuring that there are edible food recovery organizations that have enough capacity. This may entail providing funding to ensure there is adequate capacity in collection services. This includes inspections of said generators to ensure that they have an agreement with an edible food recovery organization. And this one is important to note because all jurisdictions, regardless of waivers or exemptions, have to implement this aspect of the regulations, which we will address further in the presentation. Next, conduct education and outreach to all generators. This will require education to all generators and, when applicable, education needed in Spanish and other languages. The Siskiyou County Regional Agency can apply for a rural exemption to be relieved of this requirement as it relates to collection of organic waste, but it will be required to provide continued education and outreach for existing programs such as AB 939 and mandatory commercial recycling, and education and outreach for edible food recovery. Next, a jurisdiction must procure certain levels of compost, mulch, or electricity from biomass conversion produced from organic waste. This can also include procurement of renewable gas used for transportation fuel, electricity, heating applications, or pipeline injection as applicable. This also includes procurement requirements for recycled paper products. And again, the regional agency can apply for a rural exemption to be relieved of this requirement until the end of 2026, but it will still have to meet the paper procurement requirements. Next, jurisdictions must implement and enforce CalGreen and Yuelo. And again, all jurisdictions, regardless of waivers or exemptions, have to implement new aspects of the regulations. It is also important to note that the paper procurement requirements, CalGreen and Yuelo, are all existing laws, and the regulations establish enforcement for each. Next, jurisdictions must plan and secure access for recycling and edible food recovery capacity. And again, this is a component that all jurisdictions, regardless of waivers or exemptions, must implement regarding the edible food recovery components. With the rural exemption, however, Siskiyou County does not have to meet the organic waste recycling capacity, for example, green waste and food waste, only that for edible food recovery. Jurisdictions will be required to monitor compliance and conduct enforcement. The timeline for that is monitoring and education must begin in 2022, and enforcement actions must begin on January 1st, 2024. So the regional agency can apply for a rural exemption to be relieved of this requirement until the end of 2026, as it relates to the collection of organic waste. But the regional agency will still need to provide an enforceable mechanism for procurement of recycled paper, CalGreen and Yuelo, and edible food recovery. And lastly, jurisdictions will need to adopt an ordinance or similar enforceable mechanism consistent with the regulatory requirements prior to 2022. And the Siskiyou County RA can apply for a rural exemption to be relieved of this requirement until the end of 2026. But will be required to have enforceable mechanisms in place for edible food recovery, procurement of paper and paper products, CalGreen, and Yuelo. All right, next slide, please. As you can see, every department within a jurisdiction will be affected by the implementation of SB 1383 and will have a role to play. Staff in each department will need to understand how SB 1383 impacts their work, and implementation may require adding staff or contracting with other entities, such as environmental health inspectors or consultants. Additionally, jurisdictions may need to increase funding and staffing resources across multiple departments and divisions to support their respective goals in implementing and maintaining SB 1383 compliant programs. Jurisdictions are responsible for coordinating with city and county planners, waste haulers, waste processing facilities, recyclers, commercial businesses, residents, and edible food recovery organizations. Jurisdictions may task these entities with responsibility to implement this new law. Next slide, please. There are three department-issued exemptions. And today we'll be focusing on the rural exemption, since that is the one that most impacts you. Jurisdictions that were granted a mandatory commercial organics recycling, or ADP 1826 waiver, can submit a resolution that includes a finding as to the purpose of and need for the exemption and will be valid until the end of 2026. Here is one way in which your collaboration with the Rural Counties Environmental Services Joint Power Authority, the SGPA, within Rural County Representatives of California, or RCRC, comes in. The ESJPA has prepared a model resolution with an accompanying staff report for this purpose. And then, once we reach 2026, jurisdictions may apply for a low population or high elevation number if the jurisdictions meet these thresholds. A jurisdiction, including Siskiyou, that is granted a rural exemption waiver is waived from the collection requirements, the education and outreach requirements, or the collection of organic waste before. However, remember that this does not extend to AB 909 or mandatory commercial recycling conversion programs. The regional agency will still need to continue to implement these programs, the hauler oversight programs, the organic waste recycling capacity reporting requirements, the implementation of the compliance, monitoring, and enforcement requirements, and any of the associated reporting requirements. Next slide, please.
Awesome.
SB 1383 also includes a number of market drivers. First, the law requires that jurisdictions procure recycled content paper when it is available at the same price or less than virgin material. Procured paper products must also meet Federal Trade Commission recyclability guidelines. Essentially, products we purchase must be recyclable. Jurisdictions will also have to adopt an ordinance or other enforcement requirements that requires compliance with Calgreen and water efficient landscape ordinance requirements. Additionally, providing readily accessible areas for recycling containers in commercial and multifamily units, recycling organic waste commingled with construction and demolition debris to meet Calgreen 65% requirement for steam recycling in both residential and non-residential projects, requires new construction and landscaping projects to meet water efficient landscape requirements for compost and mulch application. Next slide, please. Because we briefly covered the existing laws incorporated into SB 1383 as it relates to procurement recycled content paper products, Calgreen and Umbrella, we will focus on edible food recovery requirements for Siskiyou County. Siskiyou County Regional Agency will be responsible to implement edible food recovery programs in its community. This includes providing education and outreach, assessing capacity of existing edible food recovery, and expanding infrastructure if necessary, conducting inspections of Tier 1 commercial edible food generators and food recovery organizations and services beginning in 2022, and inspections of Tier 2 commercial edible food generators beginning January 1st, 2024. This slide covers who the Tier 1 and Tier 2 commercial edible food generators are. The regional agency will need to conduct capacity planning to ensure adequate capacity for food recovery for the Tier 1 and Tier 2 edible food generators. Regarding inspections, jurisdictions are required to inspect Tier 1 and Tier 2 commercial edible food generators to verify that they are recovering the maximum amount of edible food possible. Beginning in 2024, jurisdictions must take on enforcement action on commercial edible food generators that are out of compliance with the edible food recovery requirements. There are also record keeping and reporting requirements. Leaders in the county will want to be planning for this program and deciding which staff will have responsibility. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. by January 1st, 2022, the member jurisdictions of the Siskiyou County Regional Agency are required to have an enforcement mechanism or ordinance in place. Again, this would be to address CalGreen, loan, procurement, and adequacy recovery. Between January 22 and December 2023, Siskiyou County Regional Agency needs to identify businesses that are edible food generators in violation of the regulatory requirements and provide education material to those generators. Enforcement of violations at the jurisdiction level is not required until 2024. Next slide, please. Previous slide, please. Thank you. CalRecycle will be directly responsible for ensuring compliance for entities such as public universities, school districts, and federal facilities. However, jurisdictions are required to provide education and outreach to these entities. SB 1383 is a statewide target and not a jurisdiction organic waste diversion target. Unlike AB 939, SB 1383 prohibits a jurisdiction target. Due to this structure, the regulations require a more prescriptive approach and establish a state minimum standard. Jurisdictions will have to demonstrate compliance with each of the prescriptive standards rather than the determination of a good faith effort. However, the department has included some aspects of flexibility in enforcement of the regulations that are similar to AB 939's good faith effort requirements, but are tailored to the different nature of SB 1383's requirements. Under the regulation, CalRecycle determines the jurisdiction is violating one or more of the requirements. CalRecycle is providing compliance assistance, such as checklists, model tools, and training. Although CalRecycle may begin penalty enforcement on regulated entities starting January 1st, 2022, the timelines for the enforcement process are not triggered until CalRecycle issues a notice of violation or NOV. This process was changed a bit by SB 619 that was recently signed by the governor. Jurisdictions facing violations of the regulations adopted pursuant to Subdivision A that commenced during the 2022 calendar year may submit to the department a notification of intent to comply. Upon approval by CalRecycle and implementation by the local jurisdiction of a notification of intent to comply, the jurisdiction may be eligible for both the following. First, administrative civil penalty relief for the 2022 calendar year. Or two, a corrective action plan pursuant. Since this law was just passed, we are currently developing the process for submitting a notification of intent to comply and will be sending out updates through our observe. Otherwise, the regulations include compliance review and enforcement process that allows for extended timelines for jurisdictions under certain circumstances. This could be up to 3 years from the issuance of a notice of violation to come into compliance before penalties are issued. Next slide, please. CalRecycle has model implementation tools available for optional use. These tools consist of the model franchise agreement, model mandatory organics disposal production ordinance, the model policy, and model food recovery agreement. We have tools specifically to help the regional agency conduct the edible food capacity planning, including guidance on identifying Tier 1 and Tier 2 edible food generators. We also have a web page for each of the requirements. If you have a regional agency, as here, we have model language for amending the JPA to address 1383 requirements that the JPA will be taking on. CalRecycle staff can also help individual jurisdictions with the implementation tools, make additional presentations as needed, help to identify funding resources, and answer any other questions about the regulation. Next slide, please. Thank you so much for allowing PowerCycle to pass this round today. I will now open the floor for any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Jason, did you want to add anything?
No, we're working with the R3, and so when it comes to Amuelo and the Cal Green, I'll be working with Rick Dean here behind me to let him know what the options are, but what I'm being told currently is that we can just change the permitting process, that we wouldn't need to do a resolution, it just needs to be an enforcement action. And other than that, we're really focused on the reclaiming of food. We're working with R3, so we have a list of tier 1 and tier 2 already. We have a checklist on how we're going to enforce this and how we're going to inspect it. So CalRecycle, Julie and Marshall were here. We met with the cities and kind of just laid out the plan. We feel pretty good about where we're at with the implementation. So,
okay. Mr. Scrupton.
So, Marshall, welcome to Siskiyou County. Supervisor Kopseff, and I'm sure we've had this dialogue, so you'll understand where I'm coming from. We're going for an exemption on all of it, correct?
We're only allowed to do the exemption on the actual pickup and composting, so the larger areas, and Marshall, correct me if I'm wrong, but the larger areas are going to be, the larger counties are going to be required to provide service, essentially, to make sure that green waste is getting picked up and then that it's getting composted. We are applying to be exempted, and we are taking it, we're helping out the cities, and so through the formation of the JPA, we're amending the JPA or the agreement with County Council at the moment. And we are going to do an all-encompassing exemption for ourselves in the incorporated cities in Siskiyou County, exempting us from having to go pick up green waste at all residences and then compost it.
Until 2026.
Until 2026, and I'd be very interested to know when we would be able to apply for a waiver, because it looks like we would be attempting to apply for a future waiver, if I heard this correctly from Julia, because we're going to vet out the price and what this program would look like over the next 4 years with a consultant, either with Lawrence and Associates, or we'll have an RFP out to kind of vet the price structure and how we would go about tackling this, but our intention would be to apply for any other future waivers.
So how much state funding is coming down to implement this program to the counties?
Absolutely none.
So this is an unfunded mandate?
That's correct.
I can call it that if you don't want it, but I'll call it that. That's what it is. I noticed in the slide here, and maybe this is a question for Julia, that the federal facilities are, it doesn't apply to them. Is that correct?
This is Marshall Graham. I'm going to go ahead and answer that question. So federal facilities are required to comply, but the local jurisdiction, the regional agency or the county is not required to have oversight. PowerCycle will be working on that. And that also includes state agencies and schools, which are referred to in the regulations as local education agencies.
So what's coming to mind, Marshall, is the federal campgrounds that are in our county. How will that work? Are we going to have to provide a place for them to dispose, or how does that work? Or are they on their own?
No, the facilities, including state agencies and schools that are in the county, will all have a waiver. They'll benefit from the regional agency's waiver. So it'll include all the generators within the county.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know. I can't speak for the Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority as the chair. I understand that, but this subject has been for all of those member counties, and I think we're at, 26 in that group. The biggest problem with this is it's one size fits all. It does not fit rural counties at all, period. And I know, Marshall, we've been working through that, and I appreciate your openness to hearing us out. But they should be starting with this in the more populated counties, in the urban areas. What we have found here in Siskiyou County, even with paper, cardboard waste and that, the markets are gone. Most of this is all ending up in landfills now anyway, and that's what drives this. It's, when there's a market for it, it's easy to do. But what we're going to be, or asked to be implementing, there's no market for it. There isn't even the capability to process this yet. I know there's funding out there in some of the higher populated areas, or they may be coming into one central area. But the bottom line is, for me, this can't just encompass counties to yet create a new bureaucracy that we can't afford to fund, let alone going to our constituents and asking for a fee, which they could reject, and then it still is back on the county's back of trying to fund this. So I get the point of why we need to do this. I think there's a better way to do it that is proactive and not punitive. But I see this as just an unfunded bureaucratic overreach into counties that we're barely surviving as it is. And to yet add another layer of government in this capacity, I can't support it. I mean, and I've spoken out against it, and I'll work with CalCycle and however we can get there to make it a more positive approach. But, you know, I know the law is the law, but we need to be talking to those that created this law and see what the effects are going to be, rather than just going by the letter of the law. Thank you. And thank you, Marshall and Julie, for being here. I hope I'm not stepping on your toes. You've heard me communicate this at ESJPA, so it shouldn't be new.
Absolutely. This is Marshall again. And thank you. And we do understand your position. And we will continue to work with you to make it make as much sense as possible. And I would also add that we should have some related funding coming forward. The governor's budget did include funding for jurisdictions. And I inquired, just want to let you know that I did inquire because I was wondering if maybe they wouldn't, if it's like a per capita kind of payment. I was afraid that maybe they wouldn't have it for the rurals because the rurals are exempted. But I got confirmation that that wouldn't be the case. So I am hoping to see that funding coming forward, and just want you to know that when we're looking at those programs, we're thinking about Siskiyou County, the other rural jurisdictions, and how this affects them.
Thank you.
So while I'm not a legislator and I can't change the law or the regulations, We do understand. I mean, especially listening to your board meeting today, you have so many pressing issues. And so we'll try and make it as manageable as possible.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Marshall.
Supervisor Ogden?
Anything?
Not yet.
Supervisor Crist?
Nothing to add.
Yeah, just real quick, Marshall, you know, one of the things, you know, we don't have landfills, we have transfer stations, and our stuff goes to Oregon currently, and I was up there for a dog and pony show. I mean, they do methane or, you know, gas extraction and generate electricity. You know, it seems quite appropriate. You know, we are a small, poor, rural county. You know, you might as well tell me what the fine's going to be, because that's probably where we're headed. And I realize this is probably...
I want to say that we're not going to come out and find you. Okay, we have to come up with our own enforcement process. We haven't even completed that yet. We don't have the resources to go out and do a compliance review for every jurisdiction. So our priority is going to be for those that are recalcitrant. You know, I've had a couple, and I know sometimes people just speak out, you know, in like frustration, but we get the feedback like, well, what if we're not going to do anything? What are you going to do? Well, that would probably be to the top of the list for compliance review. But Siskiyou County, we were just there, and we were so impressed with the amazing programs that are going on. And you are, I'm sorry, you already heard Jason is working on the regional agency JPA agreement and working with R3. And so you're already taking the steps needed to demonstrate that you're working on compliance. And we document that. And then also with the new bill, SB 619 that Julia mentioned, there is a reprieve. So let's say you have to do edible food recovery and that's going to not happen by the deadline. There's a process that will start probably in March where jurisdictions can say, hey, we're not gonna be able to make that deadline. And there's a process to extend that time and to provide additional assistance. So I really want to just shift it in that regard. I mean, I still know it's a huge lift, but I want to take away the concern or the risk that we're just going to come out and fine you. Because that is certainly not going to happen.
Thank you for that. I said that in jest. You know, I think it's, and if you've been up here, you would see that, you know, we have been doing something. I mean, we're not doing nothing, and we will continue to try to do the best we can with what we got, basically.
And you do a good job.
Yeah, so I appreciate all that. Unless there's any further questions, thoughts, thank you. I'm sure we'll be having more conversation. We do have a public comment online. Go ahead, let's go with that.
Angelina, if you'd like to unmute, it is your turn to speak.
Wonderful, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It just occurs to me that there's a lot of job opportunities in on-site waste reduction, reuse, and recycling, especially in the compost realm with the potential of soil making and like fertilizers for soil. And I'm just wondering, Marshall or Julia, if you can explain if any of the potential funding that might become available is to do just what like Supervisor Kopseff mentioned, which is to develop markets for local waste reduction and recycling.
And can I get your last name, please?
Oh yes, sorry. My name is Angelina Cook and I live in McLeod.
Thank you.
McLeod is so beautiful. I love to camp there. So, Angelina, there has been, and Jason might want to expand on this, there has been some recent interest in developing a compost facility or a compost program. And as we alluded to a bit, it is difficult to pencil that out, and there are some related funds. But we do have some interest from, you know, the county in general. City of Dunsmuir met with us not long ago to talk about that. And we have an interested party that's interested in the business opportunity, as you mentioned. And so we're in the process of providing support and discussions in that regard. And so I know that was really broad, but I'm hoping that addressed your question. And part of the reason why I'm not being very specific about the business opportunity is because I asked it for it to be confidential at this point.
Sure, that's understandable. And maybe I can just be directed to who at the county or within CalRecycle to follow up with if I want to follow up on this issue.
So for us, you can definitely contact Julia Cohen, and her information is on the slide. I don't know if you got that. And then I think maybe Jason would be a good contact there within the county.
Okay. Yeah, Angelina, this is Jason Ledbetter. If you go to our website for solid waste, my contact information is on there. Feel free to reach out to me and we can discuss what we're looking at and trying to model in order to come up with what a possible program would look like.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
So quickly, Marshall, just a follow-up to the composting thing. I'm trying to remember, it's either the Water Board or Air Resources that has kind of been an obstacle with their regulation. Is CalRecycle working with that element? Because we've tried to do composting over the years and we just keep running into that stone wall of regulation not permitting it.
So yes, we are aware of the issue, and we are working on it. And to the degree that those are barriers keeping the county from implementing those programs, that also needs to be documented. Those are things outside of your control. And so we do take that into account as well. And another county that has an issue like that is Humboldt County. We run into the same thing. So those are important things that we do monitor and take into account.
Great. And then I'll just say, as a final thought, Marshall, one of the issues here in Siskiyou County is that there's very little recycling for cans, bottles, all the things you got to put deposits in. I don't know if you have any influence there. We could sure use some of that funding, set up some of these operations, because a lot of it just gets thrown in the garbage now.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we're going to go into lunch, closed session.